fires deep, middle of the field, intercepted. An incredible pick by Patrick Peterson.
Welcome to Arizona Cardinals Underground, presented by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown, Arizona!
The latest news and notes from the guys who cover the team.
Oh, baby! They can't block Calais Campbell.
Steps up, throws left side end zone. Roberts caught it!
No way!
Touchdown, Cardinals!
From Cardinals headquarters in Tempe.
Touchdown, Larry Fitzgerald!
This is football at its finest.
Here's Darren Urban.
Welcome to another edition of Cardinals Underground here on azcardinals.com. I'm Darren Urban and joined once again by Ron Wolfley. And we're enjoying a three-game winning streak here at 8701 South Hardy. And that's a pretty good feeling right now, isn't it, Wolf?
It's a great feeling, as a matter of fact. I asked myself, when is the last time that we've won three games in a row? And then all of a sudden I thought to myself, wait a minute, that was last year, yeah. Starting the season, as a matter of fact, 4-0. And then I screamed and raked my face and curled up into a corner and started sobbing. That brought back some bad memories.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that because I did the exact same thing mentally about, it was just last year. But that seems like it was like about 4 years ago at this point.
Yes, it does. You know, it just, right now the Cardinals obviously 6-4 on the season, and winning three games in a row here is... it just feels so good, especially knowing that November, this is what you do. Playoff teams that want to be contenders. And I'm not saying the Cardinals obviously are anywhere close to being dubbed playoff team at this point in time. But teams that want to contend for the postseason, you set yourself up for a December run by winning games in November.
We talked on this podcast a few weeks ago, right before this stretch of games, right before these three games, and said, you know, these are all winnable. This team could be in a really good place if they're 6-4. Now they're here. Their next two games are against division leaders, teams that are playing good football right now, teams that are not, I don't think, considered at the very top of the food chain in the NFL, but obviously good teams. Is it easy to transition as a player from playing these teams that are struggling a little bit against more difficult competition in this scenario, do you think? Or because if a team's on a roll and playing decent football, the opposition doesn't really matter a whole lot in terms of getting mentally ready for these games?
You know what I think? I think last week, for example, against Jacksonville, that was a game that I was worried about. That is a game that I think you as a coach worry about. As a matter of fact, I think B.A., if you spoke to B.A., I think he would tell you that game really concerned him. On the road, you're out there on Friday, the Jacksonville Jaguars, their reputation precedes them, there's nobody in the stands, the energy, you worry about all of this stuff as a head coach. And it's so much easier as a player to face a team like the Indianapolis Colts, where you can look at them and say, oh my goodness, they're a division leader right now. They're 7-3. They got this young phenom in Andrew Luck, right? This guy is a budding superstar. This is a good football team. And by the way, we know that our coach, Bruce Arians, won the coach of the year by coaching as an interim head coach the Indianapolis Colts. All of this is really going to help focus the attention here of the Arizona Cardinal players and get that concentration level where it needs to be, in my opinion. And I think we're going to see a very intense performance out of the Cardinals coming up on Sunday.
I'm incredibly curious because kind of watching the Colts from afar, obviously they've played well. What really strikes you both about what they did last year and what they did this year in terms of games and what Luck does is they're a pretty good second half team. In a lot of games, they seem to rally and play better in the second half, especially offensively, which is interesting because the Cardinals have obviously become a fantastic second half defensive
Goodness.
Team. And it might be a little bit of a movable object and irresistible force meeting each other, I would think, this weekend.
Yeah, you know, that is going to be a big matchup. I think the onus, where last week I looked at the Arizona Cardinals offense, I did, because I just didn't see a scenario where the Jacksonville Jaguars were going to put a 30 burger on the board. I just didn't see that scenario.
Going way out on a limb on
because that. Of that, I felt like the onus was truly on the Cardinals offense to put 30 points on the board, and that would almost guarantee you a victory. Now, as it turned out, it was only 27 points, but they got the win, and we move on. This week, I think it's completely different. I look at the defense. The strength of the Indianapolis Colts is Andrew Luck, of course, and their offense. Throwing the football, trying to run the football, trying to be more balanced. Donald Brown is the feature back as far as my opinion is concerned. And Trent Richardson is an add-on to that. But they're trying to be more balanced. And I think it's very, very smart, very shrewd on Chuck Pagano's part and Ryan Grigson, the general manager. I do believe this is an edict coming down from on high to try to keep Andrew Luck in a balanced three-dimensional offense, because I think it prolongs his health. I think it prolongs his career. And I think that matters to a general manager, whether or not you've got this young quarterback that you believe is a franchise guy, and how are we going to preserve him best so that he can be our Peyton Manning all over again. Well, you put him in a three-dimensional offense. All these quarterbacks are going down all over the league, and everyone's all up in arms. Oh, all these quarterbacks on IR right now. You've got to be kidding me. We've got to do something more to protect the quarterback. You want to do something more to protect the quarterback, D? Put him in a three-dimensional offense and stop throwing the ball 55 times a game. And I think that's what the Colts are trying to do. But having said all of that, the matchup here, the onus is on the Arizona Cardinals defense at home to be the strength that they are. And I don't know what that means in the second half, knowing how well Todd Bowles has made these adjustments for this team in the second half and how well the Colts play offensively in the second half. I have no idea what we're going to see. I just know it's going to be good.
Well, they may not have much of a choice to run. I mean, right now the Cardinals are second in the league in run defense.
Man.
They're stuffing many, many teams.
Oh.
And I do agree that Donald Brown has been, I don't want to call him a revelation, because Trent Richardson has set the bar pretty low right now for the Colts, but they don't have a great run game. They have great run thoughts. That you're right, they want to run the ball, they just don't do it very well, and that's one of the reasons they've gotten off the slower starts. And I'll be curious if this Cardinals team can shut down that run. What does that mean? Can they harass Andrew Luck without having Reggie Wayne into some turnovers?
Well, the one thing I will say is, again, if this game is close, I don't see the Colts coming out of their offense. I don't see the Indianapolis Colts saying, we're going to throw the ball all over the place here, because that's not who they are.
Right.
They are number 14 in yards per game. And interestingly enough, they're number 10 in average yards per carry.
All right.
They run the ball effectively enough to keep Andrew Luck in that three-dimensional offense. And again, I think that's a good matchup when you talk about a team that is committed to running the ball the way that they are, and the Arizona Cardinals front seven. Now, Kobe Fleener, their tight end, is a little bit of a...
I
know, but you have to say it, don't you?
Yeah, you absolutely
do. You have to point to it, with T.Y. Hilton becoming the new Reggie Wayne. And man, do they miss Reggie Wayne.
Yes,
they really do, because Reggie Wayne was the baseline for Andrew Luck. He was the down comforter. He was his blankie, just wrapped up. Oh, doesn't it feel so good with Reggie Wayne? It did. And now you take him out of the equation, and T.Y. Hilton's doing a great job becoming that guy, but it's just not going to be the same once you try to take T.Y. Hilton away. And I think it's one of the reasons why Kobe Fleener is starting to increase his profile in that offense, is because there is no Reggie Wayne, and we have had problems covering the tight end. Now,
having said that,
I do believe that Todd Bowles is going to look at Kobe Fleener, as many defensive coordinators have looked at Kobe Fleener. And this is not an attack on his person. This is not an attack on his ability, because he's a capable, very good, solid tight end in this league. But he's never going to physically scare you. And maybe that is a reason to be afraid if you're a defensive coordinator, because you look at him and you watch him on film and you watch him move and you say to yourself, this is not Rob Gronkowski. This is not Rob Gronkowski, okay? And we can cover him. We can take our Mike Backer and put him on Kobe Fleener, and we're going to be just fine. The problem is Kobe Fleener has proved a lot of defensive coordinators wrong. The question becomes, what does Todd Bowles think he's going to have to do to stop a Kobe Fleener?
So on the other side of the ball, Carson Palmer's coming off arguably his best game of the year. And a lot of people want to talk about the 419 yards passing, which was very impressive. But I think the more important number here was zero, which was the zero turnovers. No matter how many yards he was going to throw, the fact, okay, and maybe it took a timeout from above to avoid that possibility.
That was one of the weirdest plays I've ever seen in my life. 10 years of playing the game and all of these years of being around it, I have never seen a play go on for 12 seconds where the guy picks the ball and is tackled and nobody knows that there was a timeout called until after the play.
What freaked me out about the whole thing was Carson said after the game he knew that there was the wrong personnel. He felt like it was the wrong play. Yet he threw it like right where there was like 72 Jaguars standing. So
right.
But anyways, that didn't happen. It never happened.
You never saw it. Dust in the wind.
But having Carson throw it like that was great. And we'll touch on that in a minute. But obviously there's a flip side to it, which was the run game wasn't there at all.
That was scary.
Against the worst run defense in the league. And I know they probably geared up for the run or whatever, but even Eric Winston said it to me after the game. Look, I don't care if they have 8 guys in the box, 9 guys in the box. We should be good enough to at least get 3 or 4 yards. And we weren't, and that's just not good enough. And I think that's something that they have to believe going
forward.
You got
to wear.
Yeah.
As an offensive line, you have to wear what happened against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And you've got to look at that film with a critical eye. This team was number 32 in rush defense in the National Football League. They were giving up 4.64 yards per carry. That was number 28. So it wasn't like, oh, all these teams, they had these big leads against the Jaguars, and they were just running the ball in the second half. So you know what? You're getting 3 yards. You know, it's going to add up if you're – no, it wasn't that. Teams were running the ball and running the ball well against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And what happened as well? Paul Posluszny, their very good Mike linebacker, their leading tackler with almost 90 tackles on the season, he did not play in this game. They did not have him. The number 32 rush defense did not have their best. And you got whipped. You got to go back and you got to watch the film. And talking to some of the offensive linemen after the game, they admitted as much. They said, we did. We got whipped at the point of attack. Look, as a former player, that happens. I get that. I understand that. It happens. You go out there, you think you're ready to go, you think the intensity level is there, you think you're mentally prepared to do your assignment, and then you just get whipped. Because like it or not, they have good football players as well. But for whatever reason, the truth remains, they have not come together, the Jaguars, as a good rush defense, and they whipped you at the point of attack. And we can talk quickly about having 8 guys in the box or 9 guys in it. Well, first of all, when you go 13 personnel, that's what's going to happen. When you have 1 back and 3 tight ends, yeah, they're going to jam up the box. That's number one. It wasn't the 8th man in the box or sometimes 9th man in the box that was making the plays. It was at the point of attack. At the point of attack where the Cardinals' offensive line was getting manhandled. So they've got to wear that and embrace it and say, this, we've got to get better. Because I do believe, myself personally, that if the Cardinals are going to get into the postseason, if they're going to move past being a contender into actually being a playoff team, they've got to have a third dimension. They've got to be able to run the football, run it, throw it, and use play action. And that means your offensive line has got to become more physical and run block better than they have.
Completely agree with that. There's no question about that. And before we get off the offense and get to the end of this Cardinals Underground podcast on easycardinals.com, Michael Floyd had a fantastic game.
Goodness.
Everybody's going to notice the 91-yard play. Probably wasn't the best tackling or angles that a defense has ever done. So that probably helped out that play. But Michael Floyd was very good. He had that catch on the sideline. That was unbelievable to me. How much of that was Michael Floyd? How much is playing into that is people still being very concerned about Larry Fitzgerald, even though Fitz may not be having the kind of year he wants? And where do you think Michael Floyd fits in the grand scheme of the hierarchy of this receiving core?
I really don't even know. I don't even know how to answer that. I do know that Larry is still such a magnet. He just garnishes so much attention. He garners.
It's all right. You're hungry. It's almost lunch.
Let me tell you, you know what I am. You don't have a bag of peanuts or something like that, do you? You know, he does. He just draws so much attention to himself. Even the game plan of the Jaguars last week, it was, you know what, we're going to keep the middle of the field closed. They did that by playing man cover with a free safety in the middle of the field, or by playing cover three deep, four underneath. They kept the middle of the field closed. What was so interesting about that was when you watch it on film, that center fielder, that safety in the middle of the field, he kept cheating just a little bit. That body language, he was cheating more towards Larry's side. And it makes perfect sense. Of course you're going to cheat more towards Larry's side. That opened up a lot of stuff that Rob Housler did away from Larry Fitzgerald, a lot of stuff that Michael Floyd did away from Larry Fitzgerald. How many times you saw the Cardinals attack the seams and attack the seams with Larry as a distraction? I don't know what the hierarchy is. I know the Arizona Cardinals want to get Larry Fitzgerald the football. They want to move him around. They want to get him the football. But right now, if he's not coming open, Carson Palmer can count on Michael Floyd to be a guy that can be that go-to guy as well. A lot of it is because of Larry Fitzgerald, but there's no denying when Michael Floyd is given the opportunity, he's making more plays than he's not.
And there's also no denying that right now Carson Palmer is playing very good football. We made the joke about the interception, but the last three games, 63 out of 92 throwing the ball, that's 68%. 832 yards, 6 touchdowns, only 2 interceptions. I mean, that's the kind of play that they needed and they were hoping for. And part of that is because the run game was better the previous two games. It's going to have to be better. And last thing here, Wolf. They're playing Indianapolis this week. Bruce Arians said this to me after the game in Jacksonville. I know he mentioned this to you already as you were taping his TV show. They're in the playoffs now. And this game,
yeah, he did say that.
He sees this as the playoffs. That's how he's presenting it to his team. We're in the playoffs every week now. It's all one and done in a lot of ways. And I think this Indianapolis game has, with them being 7-3, and with this team fighting for a playoff spot, and with, I think all the fans are going to understand the emotion that the Bruce Arians connection with the Colts is going to have too. This is going to have a serious, in my opinion, playoff atmosphere at University of Phoenix Stadium.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. This is going to be a big game. I think it's a big game nationally, just because, again, you've got Andrew Luck, the exciting Indianapolis Colts, the relevant Indianapolis Colts at 7-3, and here they are going against, which arguably was the best story of last year in Bruce Arians as their interim head coach, going down to play the very relevant, very in it Arizona Cardinals with all that drama surrounding it. There's no doubt about it. This game has a buzz, and you can feel it right now, and I fully expect it to be just nails on Sunday. This is one of those games that you can look forward to with great anticipation, and rarely do you get disappointed. Now, that means the Cardinals defense has got to play like it has. And if it does, they're going to be in this game. They're going to be in this game in the fourth quarter, and it's going to come down to whether or not Carson Palmer makes some of those fourth quarter throws that we have seen him do.
Well, there's no question, like we talked at the top, we joked about the winning streak, but there's no question that when the team is winning, when you're around a winning team, it's just more fun each week doing these podcasts and watching these games. So for Ron Wolfley,
is it over already? Is that it?
For Ron Wolfley, I'm Darren Urban. This has been another edition of Cardinals Underground on azcardinals.com.